By the time they neared the Stack Islands again, daylight had faded into murky night. They'd had clouds all the way, which was supposed to be protective, though Margue found it dreary as the plane seemed to crawl between two layers of darkening gray. As the light failed, no lights came on in the plane. For security reasons, she was told, but she could feel all around her the bulky shapes of the Nems. The professor had fallen asleep, and Margue leaned cautiously against his shoulder, letting herself doze. She couldn't lean the other way. The unfamiliar sidearm poked her. She woke when the plane slanted downward and peered out the window into darkness.
You see anything?
No, it's all dark.
She could feel the plane sinking under her, and her ears popped repeatedly. Then a sparkle of light appeared, somewhere in the gloom. A tiny, bright line, then another line.
Lights!
As they drew closer, she could see that the lights outlined an ordinary runway, and other lights showed in buildings nearby. It looked so normal. Instead of rolling up to one of the lighted buildings, the plane swung aside near the end of the landing strip. The Nems were on their feet as soon as it landed. Margue, lacking orders, stayed where she was. She and the professor had earbuds set to the same communications channel. Another plane, then another, came to a stop near them. In the dark, with only faint light from the runway lights, Margue could just make out dark figures leaving one of the other planes. Then someone forward opened the hatch of their plane, and a cold breath of sea air swirled into the plane past the dark forms. The troops began to move out into the night.
Professor, you and the ensign, come on, now.
The professor heaved himself up, and Margue scrambled out of her seat to follow him. Outside, it was colder, but slightly less dark. Margue could tell the professor from the others as a slightly lighter blur. She pulled up the hood of her PPU against the chill and stayed close to his side. A delicate red line pointed the way. Someone had their laser guide on. She could feel the rasp of the runway surface under her boots.
Is it safe?
No one had fired a shot yet, and the troops seemed to know where they were going. Margue wasn't sure where the first troops had gone. She couldn't see them anymore.
Looks secure for now, Professor. Come on inside.
Margue felt, more than saw, the troops closing in around them, a protective cordon, guiding them to one of the buildings near the landing strip. Ahead, a door opened, spilling out yellow light. She blinked, tried not to stare at the welcome light, but watched for any threat. She couldn't see anything but the troops who had come with them, and the dark night beyond. Inside, Major Garson was talking to a lieutenant commander. Both of them looked tense and unhappy. Armed guards stood at each exit. Margue looked past them to the civilians, the other scientists, she supposed, in the large room.
Oh, Lord, it is Gussie, complete with that ugly yellow jacket and a cute redhead in tow.
She's not a cute redhead in tow. She's Ensign Pardolt. Show some respect. She's a very intelligent young woman.
The other man flashed a smile at Margue.
Meaning he talked your ear off and you didn't object. I'm Helmut Swearingen, by the way.
He turned back to the professor.
When you didn't show up this morning, Gussie, and then those people took the station, we were afraid you'd been captured.
How far have you gotten?
The other man grimaced and nodded toward the officers near the door.
Nowhere. As soon as we heard, and Ty was on the radio trying to find out where you were, so we heard right away. I went to our base commander and told him we should start dismantling the work in progress, destroying notes. He wouldn't have it. Insisted he had to wait for orders, that we were under fleet discipline. Even said we might be mutineers ourselves. He's had us under guard in this room.
What's he like?
A worrier. The only good thing about him is that he's technically trained, so at least he's understood some of what we're doing. He's actually got an advanced degree, studied with Bruno at the Gradus Institute, but he's got a serious addiction to regulations, and he claims regulations won't let him make any independent decisions about what we have here.
We don't have any time to waste. What's his name?
Alcandor Vinant.
The two officers were glowering at each other now. Margue looked from one to the other.
Excuse me, Commander Vinant. I'm Professor Adison. You were expecting me this morning.
You're late, Professor.
but I suppose under the circumstances, this is understandable.
Yes. Now that I'm here, I'm taking charge of the research unit. We'll need to start clearing away files before the mutineers can capture...
You can't do that. It's out of the question. I've had no orders from headquarters.
Under the circumstances, sir...
He's got the highest level clearance and authorization. And I've got orders cut at Dark Harbor, directing you to give your complete cooperation.
Dark Harbor's not in my chain of command. And you don't have the rank, Major. Now, how do I know you're not all mutineers anyway?
The professor's eyebrows rose steeply.
All of us? Nah, that's an interesting hypothesis, but do you have any data to support it? Why would mutineers want to deny other mutineers highly effective weaponry? You know, I'm more inclined to suspect someone who tries to preserve it intact for capture.
Are you accusing me of being a mutineer?
Not at all. I'm merely pointing out that your refusal to carry through on the very reasonable suggestion of my colleagues, all the orders I'm giving you, could be misunderstood in case of later investigation.
That's ridiculous. This installation is extremely valuable. The equipment alone is
worthless to the Familius if it gets into the wrong hands. Worse than worthless. Don't you understand that?
Well, of course. But there's no proof the mutineers are after it. They may not even know about it.
You're assuming they're stupid. That's not a good position to take, Commander. I'm afraid I must insist on your cooperation.
Margu noticed Garson's signal to his troops. So, she saw, did Vinet. He sagged a little.
Very well. But it's over my protest, and I will log this. If you had not barged in here with overwhelming force, you'd find yourself in the brig for such nonsense.
Thank you. I appreciate your position and your assistance.
The professor led Margu back to the cluster of civilians.
Gussie, we had an idea. Maybe we could mount the big guy, and then attack the mutineers.
Mounted on a planet? That's interesting. That might actually work if we have time. Do we have the supplies for adequate shielding?
Yes, if we dismantle a couple of other things. Oh, and Ty was working on breaking into their communications before Vinet snatched him out of the communications shack and stuck him in here with us.
The professor glanced at Margu.
Ensign, you're going to be hearing many things you should not hear, and which I advise you to forget as quickly as possible. Do you have any specialty background in technical fields?
Aside from growing up making what we needed from scrap, no. Basic electronics and carpentry.
Well, that may be useful. Come along. We're going to the labs.